Please join with me for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, for the opportunity we have to come to this thy house and worship thee, we once again give thee thanks. We thank thee for the song service, for the beautiful words and the music with which they're accompanied, and pray that thy blessings might be with us any time that we endeavor to sing songs of Zion and praise to thee. And we thank thee for all the blessings thou hast given us thus far in worship. Now, as we enter into the preaching and hearing of the word, we pray once again that thou will get honor and glory unto thyself, and thy people may be strengthened and edified. And bless thy servant, we pray, to these ends as he endeavors to preach thy word. Bless him with the felt presence of thy spirit, with the liberty from on high to preach the unsearchable riches of thy Son, Jesus Christ. And then once again we pray that thy people may be blessed to hear, and that we may all use it in our lives to glorify thee. And now we are mindful of those less fortunate than we, and pray that thy richest blessings might be with each of them. And this we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and amen. As some of you know, I've been trying to preach a series of messages on the fundamental doctrines of the Word of God, especially those fundamental doctrines of salvation by the grace of God. Two Sundays ago, and the further I get into this, the more difficult will be to remember how many Sundays ago I preached what and whatever. But two Sundays ago, I preached about the total depravity of man, and that how man by nature is separated from God. All right, and then last Sunday I tried to preach that God, the reason that there is a connection between God and men is because there's a mediator between God and men. And the text I use is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, which reads, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." He is the mediator between us and God. Now, this morning, the Lord willing, the Lord being my helper, I want to speak on the subject of the new birth. The new birth. And for the text that I want to use to start with, I want to look at John chapter 3 and the first 8 verses. The Gospel according to John chapter 3 and the first 8 verses. And these verses read, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily," and I'll remind you before I go further, that means this is important, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." All right. Nicodemus, as mentioned in this passage of Scripture, was a Pharisee. And I think that's important because he was one of a group of people that the great majority of them despised Jesus. A little bit later on in this same, I think two chapters over, here in the Gospel according to John, we find out they're trying to find out what to do with this Jesus problem. That's the way that they would say that. But Nicodemus was one of those. And he said Jesus, obviously Nicodemus was different because he said Jesus came from God, and that God was with him because of the miracles that he did. Now, let me pause and say this concerning miracles, that it was an article of faith, I suppose you might say, among the Jews, that if someone came doing miracles, that was evidence that he came with the idea of teaching some new doctrine. I think it's in the first chapter of the Gospel according to Mark that when Jesus worked a miracle there, then the question was asked, what new doctrine is this? For instance, the first miracles that were done by Moses, but the Israelites had no scripture telling them that a man named Moses of the tribe of Levi, son of Amram, son of Kohath, and son of Levi, that he would come and he would deliver or lead the Israelites out of Egyptian bodies. They had no scripture to let them know that. And so the miracles that Moses did, among other things, showed the Israelites God had indeed led Moses to do what he said he came to do. All right, so Nicodemus is saying here, the miracles that you did testify of the fact that you are come from God and God is with you. Now, he didn't say that Jesus was the Son of God. I know that. It's not recorded any way that he said that. But the very fact that he said that he came from God and God was with him, that was far above any of the rest of the Pharisees and many others, I suppose you might say. Just as much as when the centurion in one of the gospel records that says that surely this man was a righteous man. He didn't say he was the Son of God in that particular record, but that was far greater than those that wanted him crucified. And so so Nicodemus was saying this man indeed came from God and God was with him. Now Jesus said as reply to that no man can see the kingdom of God without having first of all been born again. Now Nicodemus saw some of it. Because he saw Jesus as king. Now, he didn't say that Jesus was king, but he saw some of the truth of Jesus. If there was just this little bit of truth about Jesus, then he saw some of the truth of Jesus. Far better than practically all the other Pharisees. And so, that's the evidence that he had already been born again. Now, I'll give you some other. The other two times that Nicodemus is mentioned outside of John chapter 3 and John chapter 7. I said two chapters actually four. John chapter 7 and verse 50. Nicodemus is somewhat, anyway, defending Jesus. He said, listen, we've got to do these things according to the law. And he was ridiculed for that. And so he was, and to some degree, he was defending Jesus before the other Pharisees. And then in John chapter 19, verse 39, this is after Jesus had died, then Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came to anoint the body of Jesus. And so he wasn't just someone that came and asked Jesus a few questions. He had a tremendous love for Jesus. And those two verses evidently bring that out. All right, Nicodemus asked, how could a man be born again? Now, and they asked the question, and some of you may have read that as I did, and remember that I read it anyway, that can a man enter into a mother's womb when he is old? And I suppose he was an older man at this time because he was a ruler of the Jews, not just a mature adult man, but one that was mature in his thinking and so forth. So he was a ruler of the Jews. So it may be that he was an older man. So Nicodemus is asking the question, can I, as an older man, enter into my mother's womb and be born again? Can that happen? And of course, he didn't understand that. But listen, I think, really, Nicodemus wanted to know the truth. He wasn't asking this evidently in a sarcastic way, as others did when they came to Jesus. He was asking this because he wanted to know the truth. Now, I thought about this as I was meditating about this just a little bit, and I thought about, well, do I understand it? No, I don't understand it. I believe what Jesus said by faith. I believe by faith that every one of God's children is born of the Spirit of God, and that happened before Jesus came, during the Old Testament times. And during that time between the Old Testament, the end of the book of Malachi, and the coming of Jesus Christ, those what's called 400 silent years, And then during the days of Jesus, during the first century, even today, each one of God's chosen people will be born of the Spirit. But do I understand how that happens? No, I don't understand how that happens. And as long as I live here in this world, I won't understand how that happens. I'm like Nicodemus. I don't understand. I know it wasn't what Nicodemus thought. I know that. But at the same time, I can believe that we're born of the Spirit by faith. But again, I don't understand it. And I never will. But Jesus said, one must be born again before entering the kingdom of God. He said, he must be born of water and of the Spirit. That's something I overlooked, really, when I was studying. And I noticed before, but I just noticed again when I read it just a moment ago. That is, we're born of water. Each one of us, when we're in the womb of our mother, then we were in a fluid there, and it's commonly called water. And when a woman is about to deliver a child, an expression is, her water has broken, and so forth. And so that's what that part means. Must be born of water, born of his mother, or her mother, and also born of the Spirit of God. And when that person is, then that person can see the kingdom of God. Now, but Jesus said, that went on to say that that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. Think about it in this way. Now, I've seen three people born into the world. You probably know who those are, but just in case you might not know who they are, they call me something you can't call me. They call me Dan. And so I saw our three sons come into the world. All right. Now, I've never seen any of you come into the world, and I mentioned this, I think, two Sundays ago, but at the same time, I know you're born because of the fact that you're walking and breathing and so forth, you have human bodies, and that's evidence that you have been born. And so you have been born of water, if you will, born in a natural way. But when we're born physically, we have flesh. Now, it may be some, like John the Baptist, evidently he was born of the Spirit of God. There was evidence that he was born of the Spirit of God before he was born of his mother Elizabeth. That seems to be the truth by what we can gather from the Scriptures. And there are others maybe that are like that. But most of God's people, I think, are born of the Spirit early in life. You may not remember when you were totally evil, as I tried to preach two Sundays ago, and the reason that you can't remember that is because you were born of the Spirit early in life. Like my mother, she could not remember her daddy. She was 2 years old when her daddy passed away, and her sister was 6 years old. Well, she was almost two. Her sister was just turned six when their daddy passed away, but she doesn't remember that. And so the idea is you don't remember being like that because God touched you by His Spirit, by His grace, and you were born of the Spirit of God while you were very young in age. All right. But that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that's all it's going to be. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that's all it's going to be. That is, as we're born of the Spirit, there is a nature within us that is contrasted to the Spirit, that is contrary to the flesh, I mean. That's contrary to the flesh. And so, we need to remember that. We have two natures within us. We have a fleshly nature, and as long as we live here in this world, then that's all it's going to be. And we have a spiritual nature, and thank the Lord for that. But Jesus said again, he must be born again. One evidence that he wasn't speaking to Nicodemus about that. And that is, some people say, well, I don't like those old pronouns. Well, if you know what they mean, they're a lot easier than the modern pronouns, at least some of them, that we have. You know, the rest of the country, I can say you, referring to any of you, but the rest of the country, majority of the United States, have never figured out that there's a plural version of that, and that's y'all. They never figured that out. But the fact is that ye is a plural pronoun. And so he was not saying, Nicodemus, you need to be born again, as we would commonly say, but people, God's people, need to be born of the Spirit of God. But again, he was not saying Nicodemus was a born again, but he was simply saying that the new birth is a prerequisite to appreciating and doing spiritual things. That is, and especially entering into the kingdom of God. Now, he explained it in verse 8. Now, this is some degree of explanation. This is a parallel to the new birth. He says, the wind blows where it lists. And the word list means that the wind blows where it pleases to blow and where it intends to blow. That it, and we can hear the sound of the wind. But we don't know the direction of the wind. That is, it changes direction. Now, I'm going to ask you two questions. Neither one of them are trick questions. I always ask you that because like some of you are a little bit scared to raise your hand. So you can raise your hand. How many of you have ever blown leaves with a leaf blower? You ever done that? All right, I see you got your hands up, some of you. All right. Around here it's not unusual. All the hardwood trees we have around here. All right. Raise my hand. How many of you have ever started blowing leaves and you're blowing fine? You know, the winds are at your back and everything. And everything's going fine. And all of a sudden the leaves start blowing back at you. You ever had that happen? Raise your hand. All right, some of you have that happen. Okay. All right, you see, that happens because the wind changes directions. I first noticed that when we lived at Cedar Creek and I'd blow the leaves and everything. Everything, I'm going to blow them a certain way and then I'm going to blow them down into the woods and everything will be all right then. But then the leaves start blowing back to me. And I said, well, there's only one thing. You can't beat them, join them. So I went to the other side and started blowing. They started blowing back at me again. So I went over here and started blowing again. And that's the idea. We don't know the direction of the wind. It changes direction on us. And he says, now listen, concerning the fact that the wind blows where it pleases and where it intends to blow, that is, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So Jesus is saying here, as the wind blows and so forth, when one of God's children is born of the Spirit of God, it's like the blowing of the wind. And the Spirit is like the wind because He goes where He pleases and where He intends. And He cannot be controlled because He goes to whom He will. Now, think about that. He goes where He intends. You're familiar with Romans 8 and verses 29 and 30. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And that's a parallel to the new birth. Now, I won't get into that right now, but a few moments, the Lord willing. Then He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. You see, God has a people. He chose them. He predestinated them. In time, as we live here in this world, the Spirit of God comes down and we're born of the Spirit of God. And that's also called calling. We'll get into that in just a moment, as I said just a moment ago. But it happens to every one of God's children, the same ones that were foreknown, predestinated, and called will be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that same number will be glorified at the time of the resurrection. You see, there's a special number of people known only by God Himself where the Spirit of God comes down and touches their lives and they are born of the Spirit of God. One thing about that, I remember Elder John Sheldon Michael making this statement. He says, that's the first, God did certain things for us or to us. But now, that's the first time that the grace of God literally came down and touched our lives when we were born of the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit goes to whomever He will. Now, God and godly characteristics are evidences of the new birth. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, we find these words. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of seen things not seen. Alright. I didn't see any of you born naturally. I didn't see any of you born spiritually. I wasn't around when you were born spiritually. And if I was there right in front of you, looking you eyeball to eyeball when it happened, I wouldn't have seen it occur. Because that's something we just simply don't see. However, When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, that is the evidence of something that hasn't been seen. As I mentioned just a moment ago, I have not seen you born of the Spirit of God, but I know you have been because the evidence is in your life. And then turn over with me to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. And this verse of Scripture reads, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Now, some of you may remember that there was a man that had trouble with the word "is" several years ago. Won't get into that, but there was a man that had trouble with the word "is." Well, I'll tell you what it means here in this passage of Scripture. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And that means everyone that loves is already born of God. That's the evidence. I mentioned faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and then love here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Now, both of those are a part of the fruit of the Spirit. There are 9 qualities that make up the fruit of the Spirit, and faith and love are 2 of them. And so, and before we have the qualities or can manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we have to have the Spirit of God within our lives, and we get that when we were born of the Spirit of God. Now, and so the idea is, we can't see the wind. We can hear it. We can't see it. We know something about the Spirit. We can see its effects, and we can see the effects of the Spirit of God. The effect of the Spirit of God is in your life because you love the Lord, you love His people, and you have faith in the Lord. So that's the evidence that you have been born of the Spirit of God. All right. Now, there are other expressions that mean the same. I mentioned one of them just a few moments ago. I'll get to that one. But it says, it is quickening. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." That is, there was a time in past that they were dead in trespasses and sins, but they are no longer that way. And the reason they're not that way is because they have been quickened. And the word "quickened" is translated from a Greek word which means to be made alive. Just like in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And I'm not going to try to quote this, but in that verse of Scripture says that God made Adam out of the dust of the earth, and God breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. Now, what was Adam when God made him out of the dust of the earth? He was a man. He had a body, but he was not alive. He was a dead man. But then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then Adam became a living soul. And so you see, my brothers and sisters, there that's how God gives us spiritual life. It's the giving of life as God gave it to Adam. All right, it is creating also. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "We were created a new creature in Christ Jesus." And it's just like Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is, God made something out of nothing. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's something that only God can do. And as you know, that there are many who deny that. And I think, I'll go back to Hebrews chapter 11, one of the first verses there. It says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were created," and I'm paraphrasing that, "by God, that God created the heaven and the earth." We believe that by faith. We can't understand that. You know, I know there are people that want to explain different things to people, but there are things in the Word of God that just can't be explained in any way, shape, form, or fashion. The fact is that only God can create, because only God can make something out of nothing. In the backyard, I have something I made. It worked pretty good for me. It's a wood rack. And I could put wood on there and cut it with a chainsaw. But I can make something, but I can't create something. And but that's something that only God can do. All right? The next thing, it is calling. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, in that verse of Scripture, it says that God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. All right? If God calls us, that called us, and He did, each one of us, then that indicates maybe a number of things, but one of the things I believe it indicates is that God had a prior knowledge of us. Now, I called a number of people that I didn't know. For instance, when we lived in Valdosta, I was asked to work for the Cancer Society. If any of you work for that, then you didn't hear this. And I was asked to do a certain job, and I can't remember what the position was, but called people to get them to do things about the drive for the American Cancer Society. And so I called people that I didn't know, but I had a list of them and certain addresses on certain roads and neighborhoods and et cetera. I had that. But generally speaking, if you call someone on the telephone, that means you have a prior knowledge of them. But God, as mentioned in Romans 8, verses 29 and 30, God has a particular people, and He calls those particular people. All right. All this shows that God is active in the new birth, and man is passive. And so a person is totally passive when he is born again. That is, born of the Spirit of God. Think of it in this way. Now, this not only works for this, but it works for a lot of other teachings that's found in the Word of God. That is, there's common language in the Word of God. Born or birth, well, you know, you have some understanding of it because it is a common language. Every one of us knows that when a mother delivers a child, that the mother is active in the birth, and the child is passive in the birth. And so, and that's one of the reasons, that's one of the reasons it's called a new birth, because those who have been born again were passive in that, and God was active in that. That is, God brought it to pass. And that's, again, that's the common language of the Bible. A dead person cannot make himself alive. That's quickening. Only God can give life to the dead. Now, there are things that people can do, and far as resuscitating people, if that's the correct word there. And I studied some of that in Boy Scouts and other things and other kinds. But unless there's life there, then a man can't do anything about giving life to the dead. All right. There was nothing within us, and God created something within us. Nothing cannot create itself. Only God can create. Now, there is a natural creation. I mentioned Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the natural creation. He said that, and then other things are mentioned all through chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, he goes back and he gives a further explanation of some things that he did that are recorded in chapter 1. All right, and so, but nothing can create itself. Concerning evolution, you know that it's out there. And there are those that just consider evolution to be a fact. But I tell you this, someone said that, well, it all started with a lot of loose matter floating around in space. And so, and a creationist asked this question: from where did the matter come? That is, what was the source of the matter? And obviously the evolutionists could not answer that particular question. There are those that despise the doctrine of creation, and one of the reasons they despise the creation, divine creation, is that if God, or let me rephrase that, since God created us, there is a responsibility that we have as being a part of His creation. The whole creation, all nature and everything that animal, vegetable, or mineral, and human, by the way, all is belongs to God as a part of His creation. Because Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof. Now, I don't know what can be left out there. Everything belongs to God as a part of His creation. Every human being belongs to God as a part of His creation. However, among every human being, there are some that God has a covenant relationship, and there are some of those that God chose in Christ and did the early works of salvation so that ultimately we will be glorified as Jesus Christ at the time of the resurrection. That is a limited number there. Alright, so, and then only God can call the dead and make him respond. Think about it. When Lazarus died, I believe he'd been dead 4 days. There was not one person in that company that could call Lazarus from the dead, but only Jesus could call Lazarus from the dead. So, these are things we look at. Only God can do this. And may we remember this one consistent teaching. And that is, God is active in the salvation of His people. And we are simply the joyful recipients of the various works of God's amazing grace. And I want to think, let's remind you of this one thing. And that is, since God did it all, remember, for whom He did foreknow, and ultimately them He also glorified. He. Either God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. One of those. He did it. God did it. God alone does these things. And therefore, God alone is to receive the glory. And we just thank God for what He has done for us. And so, God help us remember, brothers and sisters, God loves us. And because God loves us, He came and touched our lives and gave us spiritual life. And when He did, we were born of the Spirit of God. Now, one thing, why four or five, there was one that I couldn't think of, I don't think. But anyway, when I was trying to say, why four or five different words for this? And that is, each one of them tells us something a little bit different about it. But God help us remember that God has come and touched our lives. He alone could do that. He was active and we were passive. And God help us to praise Him for what He's done for our lives, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.